Thank you. Star of Bethlehem, shine on. Thank you, ladies, for all of those wonderful specials. Truly appreciate that. It was a blessing. And it's always good to reflect and remember what the Lord has given to us in salvation. And so we praise the Lord. I'd like to invite you this morning, this evening, actually, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 25 will be our text. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 reads this way. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, once again thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, participating and listening to the hymns and the spiritual songs that were sung this evening, pointing our hearts and minds toward you and being reminded of the great price that you've given for our salvation. And now, Lord, we look and turn to your word, asking you for your blessing of the Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you and that we would worship you and thank you in spirit and in truth. And we'll give you all the praise, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is found right there in our text, Waiting for the Consolation of Israel, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I want to just consider this thought for the evening, just for a few moments, and that is the idea that God is using individuals for his honor and glory. In fact, particularly, he is wanting to use you and me as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about being used for the Lord, but I want to focus in on this thought that God has purposed a specific point in time to use us for his honor and glory. We're going to hear about Simeon, we're going to hear about Anna, but very little is said about them. And if you'll consider this thought, everything that God was doing in their lives was for one moment in time. Just like Esther, for such a time as this. And so may we not miss what God is preparing us for and has planned to use us for His honor and glory, that we would be used as He pleases, at His pleasure, to fulfill His will. And maybe it's just for 1 hour of our life that we would do it for His honor and glory. And may we spend our life allowing Him to prepare us for that time. So let's consider the word consolation. The word comes from the word paraclete. And if you know what that is, that's the comforter. That is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that helps. In fact, the rabbis call the Messiah the consoler or the comforter. Isn't that amazing? The comforter. And the Lord is the one that promised the comforter that He would give us another like Himself. And so when we consider the consolation of Israel, look again in verse 25. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout," listen to this, "waiting for the consolation of Israel." His whole life has been purposed to wait, to find, to see the Messiah, that he might declare who He is. Just for that one brief moment in his life, God was working in his life. Notice, and it says, "And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Let's consider also the importance of the Comforter or the Holy Spirit. And that's God's communication to us. That's how He works. That's how He speaks and guides us. And it's also how He gives us His revelation of His purpose for our life. So He's filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We saw that right there. And now the Lord is going to be presented to him. And he was presented to him to fulfill the religious Jewish rite of circumcision. And so now, as this is being said here, we're not going to go through verses 21 through 24, but that's where that was done. And now we find here that that the Lord is moving in Simeon's life. And it says this in verse 26, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost," he's the revealer again, "that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ," or the Lord's Messiah. Just for one moment in his life, God said, "You're going to glorify me." Not that he didn't glorify the Lord throughout his whole life, because he had purpose to give himself to the Lord, to say, "Lord, use me as you wish." He wasn't looking for glamour and glitter and fame and a big name. All he was looking for was, "Lord, you use me however you want to use me. I want to be in your hands to do with as you wish." And so, verse 27, we find God's purpose fulfilled. But I want you to stop and think about this. God's purpose was fulfilled for Simeon. God's purpose, even through Simeon, was fulfilled for Mary and Joseph. And not only that, but for the whole world as well, for this brief moment. Look at verse 27, and it says this, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation.'" Isn't that amazing? He's saying, "I'm seeing the fulfillment of your promise. I've been waiting for this, and you have been true and faithful, Lord, to fulfill your will in my life." Notice this, verse 31, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people," the whole world. So here the Lord is fulfilling his will through the life of Simeon for the whole world. And so notice again, verse 32, "a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They were looking at that, verse 34, "and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" And so we find this taking place in the life of Simeon, Mary, and Joseph, and really to the whole world. And that's God's will. And so we would say, my goodness, was there sorrow involved in this and everything that was taking place in the life of Simeon and Mary? And absolutely, because not only was the Lord coming into the world to be our Savior, but there was sorrow that was going to come along. But wait, in the morning, there was going to be a great joy. And that one day there's coming a day where there will be all joy and no more tears. I don't understand that. That's a promise of God. And that is the wonderful future that you and I have to look forward to. And let me ask you this question. Will it be worth it for us to give our God, our Savior, all that we have, that He might do with it as He wills, amen, and as He wishes? Do you think today Simeon had any regrets, one regret at all, that he gave his life to his God to use as he deemed and saw fit to use? Then lastly, I want to consider this, and that's God's purpose here in Anna the prophetess. And again, this is all we hear about Anna the prophetess. Look at verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess. Listen to her life now. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband. Listen to this. 7 years from her virginity. So I don't know, you know, what year she got married. But she was with her husband for 7 years. I dare say she was probably at least a teenager, right? Let's give her maybe 15, 20 years old, somewhere around. And then she lived with him for 7 years, right? And then it says this, and she was a widow of about 84 years. So for 84 years, she was a widow. Now add on the day she got married, and then add on the 7 years she was married. She was probably, I would dare say, how old? 100? I don't know, a little bit older. So all this time that was taking place in her life for this one moment. And notice what happens here. Verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God, listen to this, with fastings and prayers night and day. Night and day she was doing this, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And so here we find her life being used for the honor and the glory of God for this one moment. For this one moment, all the preparation, everything that she received of the Lord graciously by the grace of God and allowed God, Lord, I'm giving my life to you that you might use it for your honor and glory. And then we find here God's purpose. Again, verse 39, it says this, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And listen to this, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And really, we don't know everything that went on. We don't know anything that really went on in the Lord's life for a brief moment at 12 years of age, and then not until he was introduced to the whole world. Why? Because God had a purpose that was to be the focal point for the glory of God in the Son of God. God has a purpose for your life and mine to be a focal point, and maybe it's just for 1 hour, but if that's what God has created us for, is He not worthy for us to allow Him to prepare us for that 1 hour that He might be honored and glorified? And so as we consider the Christmas story, as we consider the greatest gift that was given to you and me, at least if we profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know we're the recipients of it. He really wants the whole world to know and to be saved. But if He's given that to you and me, what might we in turn give to Him that He's asked for? You know what He's asked for? For our hearts. That we might give Him our hearts and that we might ask Him, Lord, please fulfill Your will and Your purpose, that Your purposes might be honored and glorified. And whatever that is, that thing is, Lord, may You give me a heart to seek after You and that specific purpose for You creating me. We're not an accident. The world thinks people are accidents. We're not an accident. With everything, didn't God say that He knew the prophet Jeremiah even before he was conceived? Before he was conceived, He knew him. And that is a truth to let us know that God's heart and mind knows us before we were ever even conceived. And He has chosen us to be redeemed and to be redeemed for his honor and glory. So as we celebrate, and may we celebrate, because God has given us an occasion and a cause and a reason to celebrate, and that is the salvation that he's given to the whole world. May at least the world see in us how grateful and thankful we are for the greatest gift that can ever be received by mankind, and that is the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Through the blood of the Lamb and nothing else. There's no righteousness that we have at all to give the Lord. It's either his or it's none. Amen? And how grateful should we be to say, thank you, God, for saving my soul. And the least I can do, Lord, is to understand that you've created me for a specific purpose. And so, Lord, you can only seek it for yourself. I can only seek it for myself. Lord, reveal to me and prepare me for your purpose. Amen? Would you stand as we prepare to dismiss in prayer? This will conclude our candlelight service tonight. But may we walk out of here with this thought and this idea that God has created us, be it for an hour or for many hours, whatever it is, Lord, give us a heart that we might seek out your purpose for our own personal lives, that we would be found faithful before him. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of gathering and assembling together as your people to worship you and, Lord, to celebrate what you've given to us in your Son. And we thank you for the eternal life that he's provided. And, Lord, as we heard beautiful music sung to your honor and glory, and, Lord, as we open up your word that brings faith, may you be honored and glorified and pleased to give us a heart to seek after and to call upon you to reveal to us and to prepare us for your purpose and your cause for creating us. As we go through the Christmas season, may we again return our thanks to you and yield ourselves as living sacrifices for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.